chapter 7. Mrs. Eubank, I've been meaning for 2 or 3 weeks to show you this. Thank you so much for the big G. All right. Matthew chapter 7 is where we're going to start this morning. And we're going to continue our message from last week and see if we can't conclude that for you. We're talking about being a doer of the Word. And what I want to get into this morning in the context of being a doer of the Word is this, that God doesn't want us to be doers of the Word just in the sense of outward performance. That what He desires for us is to be changed inwardly, to be transformed inwardly, so that the desire of our heart is always to do the Word of God, to do the will of God, so that being a doer of the Word is something that is instinctive for us as the people of God, a people who are showing forth their faith by doing the Word of the Lord as God reveals it to us and speaks it into our heart. Whether it's something from the Scriptures, whether it's something concerning the moral law of God, or as we'll share with you by example in just a little while, maybe it's something that God is speaking just uniquely to you about, something that He has in store for your life, and He wants you to do this. And so, as we shared last week, God is often speaking to our hearts about things in order to accomplish His purposes, obviously, and ultimately in the world, but ultimately in the process, positioning us as the people of God, not only to accomplish what He wants to accomplish through us for His glory, but also positioning us as people to experience His blessing on our life. Because when we're doers of the Word, the Bible tells us the doer is the one who is blessed. When we obey the Scriptures, when we obey what God says, God gives blessing to us. Let's read Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27, and we'll take off again this morning. Let's read together. Matthew 7, verse 24. Again, this is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has given them instructions about how to live the Christian life and to walk by the Spirit. Really, it's what He's talking about. Walking by the leading of the inward man and the Spirit of God and doing things God's way. He says in verse 24, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them." And that's the key, okay? Because He's going to give us an example of another person in a minute who hears but doesn't act. Okay? So the key is being a doer of the Word, acting upon the Word, doing what God says. "Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, slammed against that house, yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the wind blew and slammed against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Let's pray together. Lord, I pray that You would open our hearts today and help us to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, that still small voice by which You speak to each one of us who believes in Jesus. And I trust and believe, Father, You're going to speak to all of us today. You're going to show us some things in our own personal lives where we know the right thing to do, but we've not become doers of it yet. We're going to trust and ask You today and believe and be encouraged that You're going to help us to become doers of Your Word. And we thank You for it in Christ's name. Now, before we even get into the Bible study today, there's something else I want to remind you of as a part of our church family here today, okay? We preach the Word of the Lord every week. We share the Word of God with you, which, of course, as believers, and we make the assumption in church on Sunday morning, maybe it's not a safe thing to do, but we assume on Sunday morning our purpose as a church is to encourage those who believe in the Lord Jesus to walk faithfully with the Lord and to live life to the fullest in this lifetime. But we need to remember something as we journey through this lifetime, and that's this. We're learning truths to help us through this lifetime, but ultimately our goal is eternity. Our goal is heaven. This life is not what it's all about. Even if we get the principles right and live them right in this lifetime is not what life is really all about. We are in a time of preparation for eternity. And we're growing ever closer to that day when we will enter into eternity and experience the ultimate prize that God has for us. We are, in a very real sense, chasing after eternity, chasing after heaven. How many of you know today that heaven's a real place where real people experience a real eternity with a real God? And heaven's a wonderful place, and heaven's a glorious place. And hopefully, obviously, all of us look forward to being there when our time comes and when that day happens. And indeed, our purpose is to teach how to live faithfully. You know, it's not just about getting the principles right to live right, but it's about learning how to live by faith every day so that you and I develop the enduring faith that takes us beyond this lifetime into eternity. Did you know that Jesus says in Matthew 24 that those who endure to the end will be saved? And we're to live by faith every day that we're in this journey we call life until the day the Father takes us home. And hopefully if we're doing it right and we're encouraging one another, and this is what church is all about. Church is about learning the things of the Bible, learning right from wrong, learning God's way. But it's also about us coming together as brothers and sisters in the Lord and encouraging one another to keep doing the things that the Lord's put in our heart to do. Keep pursuing God. Keep following God. Don't walk away from the Lord, but keep chasing after God. So that when our day comes and when we get to the end of the line and when we cross that finish line, we can say like the Apostle Paul, I have fought the fight, I have kept the faith. I've kept the faith, and that's so important that we keep our faith throughout this journey so that we can enter into the world to come. Don't quit. Don't give up on God so that when our time comes and our exodus happens, we are delivered safely into the waiting arms of a loving God, and we can say we've kept the faith. And then you know what? God will say to us, well done, good and faithful servants. And that's what it's all about. And then we spend eternity with God. But in the meantime, do you understand? Do you understand what we're doing for this lifetime is that we are learning how to make the best of a bad situation. We really are. This lifetime is about learning how to make the best of a bad situation. Because guys, this world is a bad place. I don't know if you've noticed it yet, but this world is a bad place, and this world is erupting all over the place. We're seeing corruption, and we're seeing evil, and we're seeing things just erupt all over the world these days. I mean, we could get into the politics of the United States today, and it's such a sad, sad place that people have come to today that I guarantee you about 99, former FBI director went to Congress to testify this past week. And I'll guarantee you about 99% of America, I want you to hear this, 99% of us had already determined what we believed about what he was going to say before he ever had an opportunity to say it. We've already decided. We either loved him or we hated him, and it didn't matter what he had to say. And we've become so hard-hearted and so cynical in our day and in our time and in America. And Christians the same way. It's no wonder that the world is going the way that it is when the church is as bad as it is. And we can see the evil that's just erupting in our world all the time. It's the result of the fall of man thousands of years ago in the garden, and it won't change. I don't care how much we pray for it to change, it's not going to change. It's going to keep getting worse until Jesus comes again. Now, the prayer is that the thing that will change is that we'll be able to reach out and save a lot of souls before Jesus comes. But the world itself is destined for destruction, guys. It's destined to be destroyed. And a new heaven and a new earth come where we spend eternity with our God. I'm not sure how I got off on that. I'm just telling you, yeah, I do too. We're trying to learn how to make the best of a bad situation. This world's a bad place. But we're trying to learn how to make the best of a bad situation by learning how to be doers of the word of God, because it's the doer of the word that's blessed. In this passage of scripture, Jesus teaches us that. Both people heard the message. Both people knew what to do, but only one of them had the wisdom to follow through and be a doer of the word. And because he was a doer, because he followed through, he was blessed for it. He was prepared for the storm when it came. He was strong enough to endure when the storm came because he was a doer of the word of God. It's the doers of the word, guys, that's blessed. Just coming to church on Sunday morning, listening to preaching, reading your Bible during the week. If we just do these things out of a sense of duty, then we're not really getting from them what God intends for us to get. Hear this, brother and sister. God, listen, church and Bible study is not about simply gaining information. It's not about just gaining information. God wants us to not just gain information, but to experience transformation and to let the Word and the Spirit of God change us and make us different people so that we live a different way. Well, we can't just hear. We've got to do. It's like that exercise bike we talked about last week that we spent all that money on and brought it home. And now that exercise bike is the most expensive closet in our house. It's where we hang our clothes. See? Or that gym membership that we bought, and then after a couple of trips, we just, it's too hard, and we quit going there. We don't get into shape. We don't lose the weight just because we buy the bike or pay for the membership. We have to be doers. We have to get on that bike. We have to pedal it a few times. We have to get down to the gym. We have to get on that treadmill. We have to do these things in order to receive the benefits. It's the doer that's blessed. It's the doer of the word that's blessed. When we're doers of the word, we're blessed. Let me show you an example of what I'm talking about here. Look over with me quickly at the book of Exodus. Way back over in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 14. Exodus, pretty easy to find. Second book in your Bible. Genesis, Exodus. If you see anything else, you've gone too far. While you're finding it, let me give you the backstory of what's going on here in Exodus chapter 14. Moses has been into Egypt. He has done the miracles before Pharaoh. Pharaoh has finally released the Jewish people. Moses has led them out of Egypt, or they're coming out of Egypt. But now when we get to Exodus chapter 14, they get to the Red Sea. And this is fascinating to me because they haven't been gone very long from Egypt proper. When they get to the Red Sea, we're talking days maybe, the most, okay? And they come to the Red Sea, and as they get there, lo and behold, Pharaoh's heart is hardened again, and the armies and the chariots of Pharaoh are now chasing after the Israelites to retake them, to recapture them, and the Israelites are standing on the beach of the Red Sea. And they can see the clouds of the smoke from the chariots and the army that's marching for them. And they know what's about to happen. And they immediately begin to complain. I mean, they hadn't been free for a couple of days. 400 years these people were enslaved. And they came out. And listen, the Bible says that when they came out of Egypt, that they plundered the Egyptians. After all of those plagues, you remember those plagues of Moses and all the stuff that happened there in Egypt? And the people of Egypt were so tired of all the junk they were having to go through, they begged Pharaoh, please get these people out of here so that we can get back to living. And the Bible says that when the Israelites left Egypt, that the Egyptians just loaded them up with everything they needed. Gold and silver and jewels and clothes and food and livestock and everything. And the Bible says they plundered the Egyptians without ever going to war with them. And they came out wealthy, and they came out rich, and they came out in 3 days complaining to God. Because here they are now at the Red Sea, and they see the Egyptians coming after them, and they say in verse 11 to Moses, "Is it because there was no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Moses, you should have just left us alone. Let us go back. Let us go back. We want to go back to Egypt." Brother and sister, this is the picture of our spiritual journey. When we come out of sin, the devil will immediately try to recapture us and drag us back in. And sometimes the fight will be hard. Sometimes it will be difficult to resist. But if we're going to stay free, we've got to press on with God and not go back to where we came from. These people want to go back to where they came from. And thank God, God and Moses wouldn't let them go back. Read with me down in verse 13. Moses said to the people, "Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent." Stand by, Moses says, and see the salvation of the Lord. God's going to fight the fight for you. God's going to get the victory for you. All you've got to do is follow the Lord and walk in the benefits of what God has called you to do. Now, I want to say something about this passage of Scripture that I think is often misunderstood. In verse 13, where Moses says, "Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord." Stand by. Your translation may say, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." I can't tell you the number of sermons that I've heard that tell us that there is nothing that you and I have to do in order to experience the blessing or the salvation of the Lord. God does it all. Now, listen, I get that to a point, okay? I get that to a point. All of the work of salvation, defeating the enemy and overcoming the enemy, all those things, God has done all that for us. But the truth, brother and sister, is that there is a responsibility that you and I have if we're going to reap the benefits of God's victory. There's something that the children of Israel had to do. When Moses told them to stand still and see the salvation of God, it didn't mean they didn't have to do anything. That's not what it meant. He tells them, "You're going to stand still and watch God defeat your enemy, but there's still something that you've got to do." Just like where salvation is concerned, there is something that you and I have to do. Yes, there is. Because the Bible tells us that our work in salvation is to believe in the one whom the Father has sent. We absolutely have something to do. Salvation is by grace, brother and sister, but it's also through faith. And your salvation is not automatic. You are only saved if you choose to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is something that we have to do. We have a part to play. We have a responsibility. God does the work. God wins the battle. God breaks the power. But we have to choose to believe in Jesus, or we don't experience the victory. We don't experience the eternity. We must choose to do something. Just like these Israelites had to choose to do something. Let me show you their responsibility. Because Moses didn't, like most preachers, he didn't stop right there. Look at verse 14. "The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent." Verse 15. "The Lord said to Moses, 'Why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward.'" Now you gotta hear this. You gotta see that. You gotta picture this. Here they are standing on the beach, on the brink of the Red Sea, waves lapping at their sandals and toes, with no place to go. And God says, "Tell the people, move forward. Move forward. You've got to show some faith, Israelites. You've got to do what I'm telling you to do. You got to be a doer of the word." Watch. They have responsibility. But so does Moses. So does Moses. Verse 16. "As for you, Moses, lift up your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea, and divide it. And the sons of Israel shall go through the midst of the sea on dry land." So here's the thing. God has a part. Moses has a part. And the children of Israel have a part. Everybody has a part to play, brother and sister. We have a part to play in God's working in our life. The things of God don't just happen automatically. If the children of Israel had just stood there on the west bank of the Red Sea, the Egyptians would have caught them. They would have recaptured them or slaughtered them or something if they had done absolutely nothing. They had to do something They had to go forward. But first, Moses had to divide the sea. Now, where does Moses get the faith to do this? To stand on the beach of the Red Sea and hold out his arms until the beach is divided, until the waters are divided, a wall on each side. And by the way, I believe it happened just exactly the way the Bible says that it happened. When you read the story, the Bible said that when they went through the part in the Red Sea, there was a wall of water on one side, there was a wall of water on the other side, and there was dry land in between. And they went through the Red Sea to the other side to escape the Egyptians. And I believe that it happened just exactly the way God said it does in the Bible. Because I'm just a simple guy. And I believe that God can literally do anything. I believe He can do anything. If He can, listen, if He can create the heavens and the earth, if He can create the universe in 6 days, He can part the Red Sea, He can make a wall up on one side and the other. God can do that. Nothing is impossible with our God. He is the creator of heaven and earth. A lot of people like to try to explain away all of the miracles of the Bible because they just can't bring themselves to believe in miracles for some reason. And one of the theories that liberal theologians have where this passage of Scripture is concerned is that they were actually at towards the end of the Red Sea there, and all that happened was the tide went out and the water was low enough where the Israelites could walk across and get over to the other side. And it's just a few inches of water there. Well, that almost creates another miracle if you stop and think about it, that God was able to drown the entire Egyptian army in just a few inches of water. That's a pretty good miracle too, isn't it?
Amen.
No. God can do anything. And I believe just exactly it's confirmed in Psalms to us that there's a wall of water on either side where these guys have to go. And you got to give these guys a little credit. They were willing to walk between those two walls of water. That takes a little bit of faith. Even though it's dry ground, you're looking at a wall of water on one side, and a wall of water on the other side. Am I going through? They moved forward. They went forward. They were doers of the word, and they were blessed. Elijah, we found last week, was a doer of the word. Elijah, go down to Sidon, go down to a widow woman. She's going to take care of you during the drought. This widow woman who has nothing, she's going to take care of you during the drought. Don't you know that Elijah had been spending several days, maybe weeks, by that brook and drinking water from the brook, and ravens were bringing him bread and meat at night. Don't you know when God said, go down to that widow woman who's going to take care of you? She didn't have anything. But go down there and live with her for a while. Go down and live with her for a while. Don't you know that he probably thought, you know, God, I got it pretty good right here at the brook. The ravens are right on time every morning and every evening. Why don't we just do it this way? You know, we fall in that same habit. We fall in that same rut. When we see God do something a certain way, we get comfortable in it, and we just think God ought to just keep doing it that way in our life. And sometimes God wants us to take us to different places so that we can grow in our faith and grow to higher heights in Him. And God just doesn't do things in our life the same way all the time. And so when the brook dries up, He says, Elijah, go down to visit that widow woman down there. She's going to take care of you. She didn't have anything, but she'll take care of you while you're down there. And He's a doer of the word, and she's a doer of the word. When he tells that widow to take that last piece of bread that she's making, and instead of feed, don't feed you and your son with it. Bring that piece of cake to me and let me have it, and I'll eat it. And in faith, she obeys the prophet of God, and God supernaturally provides for all of them throughout the duration of the drought and the famine that followed until it was all over with. God provided for them. God blessed them because they were doers of the word. We looked at Naaman last week. Naaman had to dip himself 7 times in that river. Not once, not twice, not 3 or 4. He had it 7 times. And when Naaman did it, his skin was just as cleansed as a child's skin because he was a doer of the word of God. We went, oh, my shofar. Let me tell you where I got my shofar from. Did you like it? You like my little shofar this morning? You didn't like that? Becky and I went over to Shekiah Preparation Assembly 2 weeks ago. A friend of ours pastors a church over there, and we've been good friends with them for a long, long time. Their church celebrated their 30th anniversary over there a couple weeks ago, and they had a mortgage burning ceremony over there. They had a 30-year mortgage that they had paid off in 20 years. And so they had a celebration to burn the mortgage. And they gave these things out to every person who came into that sanctuary that night. And there's a couple hundred people. And now this is a full-blown Pentecostal church, okay? So there's running and there's shouting and there's dancing and there's horn blowing and there's all kinds of stuff. And there's a couple hundred of us going, just making all the noise we can around that place and just having a good time and celebrating the Lord. And, you know, I came out of there and I told Becky, I said, you know, I almost feel bad that we've never had the privilege of a mortgage burning ceremony around here. We've never had the privilege of a mortgage burning ceremony. And the reason is because we've never had a mortgage. We've never had a mortgage on anything. So when God called us to do this ministry, God said, don't borrow money. God said, give, and I'll give back to you. And so we made giving the primary thing when we started this ministry so many years ago. And God, throughout the years, provided the money for us until ultimately we were able to buy this 30, we own 30 acres of land, two houses, the outreach center, this building, the pavilion, all this stuff. Nearly $1 million in assets here, and we own it all outright because we gave and God gave back to us. And we did what God said to do, and God blessed us. Just a little handful of people. Just a little handful of people. And listen, that's not to say that it's wrong to borrow money. Shekiah borrowed money. What it was, listen, this is what God told us to do. This was God's instructions to us. Victory Fellowship, don't borrow money. See, if anybody else had tried to do that without God telling them that, they'd have got into a heap of financial trouble trying to do things our way. Listen, nobody else can walk in our armor. We can't walk in anybody else's. We have to do what God's called us to do. Shekiah, actually, they had a 30-year mortgage. They paid it off in 20 years. You know what God told them a year ago? God told them a year ago they owed $100,000, $150,000 on that mortgage. And God said, pay it off next year. And the preacher preached that to his congregation. And each month over this past year, they've continued to make their mortgage payment. They've continued to do all the rest of the work of the ministry God called them to do. But in addition to everything over and above, all of those expenses, this little church was able to raise $95,000 so that they could pay off this mortgage and have this celebration and this mortgage burning ceremony. They heard from the Lord, they became doers of the word, and God blessed them as a result of it. Brothers and sisters, if we will do what God is calling us to do, God will bless us as a result of it. Quickly, if you would, I'm way behind. Look over at James chapter 1, if you would, please. Doers of the word are blessed. God told us, don't borrow money, give. And instead of taking the money that you were giving to this church and paying a bank thousands of dollars in interest, we were taking that money and giving it away thousands of dollars at a time to outreach ministries. And God gave back to us in the process of time so that we could build this church and these facilities to do what He's called us to do in this community. When we're doers of the word, we will be blessed. Doers of the word are blessed. James tells us this in James chapter 1. Look at verse 21. James writes and says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted. Now, I got to tell you, that means more than just give a quick listen. When he talks about receiving the word, Psalm 1, Joshua 1, uses the word meditate on the word of God. Meditate the word of God. When he says here, receive the word of God, he's talking about making that word a part of who you are. Not just listening with your head, but getting it into your heart, getting it into your soul, making it a part of who you are, just like you were feeding on it. What you eat becomes a part of who you are. And spiritually, we're to feed ourselves on the word of God so that the word of God becomes a part of who we are and changes who we are for the better. And so he says, receive the word implanted or engrafted, which is able to save your souls. That's equivalent to Paul's instructions in Romans 12, 2, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The saving of the soul is the renewing of the mind. And when we receive the Word of God and we devour the Word, we feed on it, we make it a part of who we are, not just listening a little bit here and there, but really feeding on the Word, it changes who we are. We instinctively become doers of the Word. Now we're doing the Word of God because it's who we are. It's what we want to do. It's not because we have to do it. Here's the thing. We become doers of the Word. We're doing the Word not because we have to, but because we want to. Because it's a part of who we are now. It's a part of our nature to live this way. This is what James teaches us. Verse 22. But prove yourselves doers of the Word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. See, a lot of times we come to church or we read a couple chapters in the Bible and we think we've done our responsibility, we've done our duty, we've done what's required of us. Now everything in life ought to change. We're deluding ourselves when we think that kind of a casual approach to the Scriptures and to the Word of God is going to make a difference in our life. Look at verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at it, looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But, verse 25, one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, which is the Word of God, and abides in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Let me paint the picture for you here. He uses, in fact, your translation may actually use different words in verses 23 and 24 from verse 25. Mine uses the same word, look. He looks at the Word, he looks at the Word, verse 25, looks intently at the Word. The point is this, the look that he's giving in verses 23 and 24 is not the same kind of look that we're giving in verse 25. The look in verse 23 and 24 is that quick glance. You know, you're rushing, you're late for work in the morning, you run over to the mirror, you take a quick look in the mirror, spruce yourself up, and off you go. And before you, I hope you're all right, before you get very far, you've forgotten what you really look like in the mirror. You just kind of, you forget about it right away because you walk right away so fast. But in verse 25, he's talking about taking a deep, diligent, searching, seeking look into the Word of God. Not a quick look, not just a quick observation, but looking deeply at the Word until the Word gets into your heart. It gets into your soul and it changes you at the very core of your being. So that now you are an effectual doer. That means now that you are a natural doer of the Word. You are an instinctive doer of the Word of God. You instinctively do what's right. Instead of like human nature, we instinctively compromise. We instinctively take the easy way out. We instinctively take the quick path, which often leads to trouble. Now, we're hearing and we know what needs to be done. And because we fed our heart on the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is bringing life to that Word. And we know what it means to live right. And we know how to live right. And we know the blessings that's going to come from living right. And because of all of that, and because we're loving God, and because we fed ourselves on the Word of God, the desire of our heart now is to do the right thing. And now we instinctively do the right thing. Because we're new creatures in Christ. And we have a new nature. And our heart is full of the Word of God. I heard a preacher years ago. He made this statement. He said, if you'll be faithful to feed your heart on the Word of God, even when you don't think you need it, God will be faithful to bring that Word to remembrance in times of need in your life. That's why, guys, listen. That's why when we have a marriage conference and you think, I don't need to go to that. My marriage is perfect. Well, you know what? First of all, you're deluded. But second, forgetting that, No marriage is perfect. You get that, right? It's two people, two imperfect people don't make a perfect marriage. It just doesn't work that way. But here's the thing. You can have a great marriage. But listen, when the marriage conference comes up, you ought to go anyway. And learn some things that maybe a couple of weeks, couple of months, couple of years, something's liable to happen in your marriage relationship, and you'll need to know what was taught in that marriage conference. And now because you went and you were faithful to feed that into your heart, now the Holy Spirit has something to work with in your life, something to bring back to your remembrance, something to give you to use to make your marriage right again when things do go bad, because every marriage has bad times. Don't mean to disappoint you. Again, it's just the reality of the world that we live in. But listen, James is telling us that we need to be intent in our study of the Scripture. Jesus said the same thing in John chapter 8. Jesus said, if you will continue or abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We quote that scripture all the time. Truth will set you free. Truth will set you free. Wait a minute. It will set you free. But do you know the truth? Have you fed your heart on the truth? Is the truth a part of your life because you've fed it into your life, because you've studied the Word of God and you've continued in the Word of God and you've not backed away from it or forgotten about it or left it out of your life, but you've made it a priority in your life and in your thinking? Here's the thing, brother and sister. I got one last passage. We're going to finish what we did last week over in Joshua chapter 1. I want to show you this. Here's what I'm trying to get across to you today, and it's this. God wants us to feed our hearts continually on the Word of God. Feed it in there, feed it in there, feed it in there until we become the Word of God, until the Word takes root in us and it begins to reproduce itself in and through us so that we instinctively are doers of the Word of God. Because here's the way God changes us. Hear this, guys, listen. Christianity is not about trying harder to be better. That's not Christianity. That's religion. That's religion. Christianity is not about trying harder to be better. Christianity is about dying deeper to live higher. Christianity is about total surrender so that Christ takes over. And it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, who's living in you and reproducing the life of God in you. Christianity is about feeding the Word into our heart and leading and following the leading of the Holy Spirit so that we are instinctively doing, not because we have to, but because we want to, we're instinctively doing what we know is right, what we've learned from the Word, what the Spirit has taught, and it's our new nature. We do things by nature, guys. We do things by habit. We do things by nature. Unfortunately, all too often, we're following the old nature. And it's why the Bible says we need to put on a new nature. And we need to let that new nature have its way and have its control in our life. And the way we give it control is by feeding it continually into our heart. Let me say it this way. What you feed into your heart is ultimately what's going to control your life. If you feed the ways and the principles of this world into your life, the way of sin, the way of rebellion, the way of compromise, the way of disobedience, if you feed those ways into your heart, that's the kind of person you're going to be. But if you feed the Word of God into your heart continually, and let the Word of God soak into your life, not just in your head, but deep into your heart as you meditate the Scriptures and you let the Spirit speak to you about its truths and reveal these principles to you. And the Word of God just takes root in your life and takes control of your life and you become the person that God wants you to be. Now you're following a new nature and you're not having to, you know, oh God, I don't want to do that, but I don't know I'm supposed to do that, but I don't. No, now the new nature is in control and the desire of your heart is to bless God and obey God. Psalm 37 verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And what that means is, if we will delight ourselves in God, and that means to give yourself to God, it means to surrender yourself to God, it means to let God have his way and let God have control and let God do his thing, it means to feed your heart and soul continually on the scriptures as the Bible tells you to. This is how we delight ourselves in the Lord. And when we delight ourselves in the Lord, then God puts fresh desire. He changes our heart. He makes us new from the inside out. He makes us new on the inside so that we can live differently on the outside and live a better life that brings glory and honor to him. And it's our desire to do so because we've been changed from the inside out. Instinctively, we are doers of the word of God. Let me just read this last passage one more time. This is what God is telling Joshua when Joshua takes over the leadership of the nation of Israel. Joshua chapter 1, the children of Israel are on the border of the promised land. Moses has died, okay? God says, Joshua, Moses, my servant, has died. Now the time has come for you to arise and lead my people into the promised land. Joshua, here's how you're going to succeed. Look at what he says there. I'm going to start in verse 5. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Number one, Moses, the reason you're going to succeed is because I'm going to be with you. Brother and sister, how many of you know that God is with you and lives in you as a believer in Jesus Christ today? God is with you. We got that one knocked, all right? God is with you. Verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong. So, now watch. The clock moves too fast. God is going to do his part, but Joshua has a part to do as well. There's a cooperation here, okay? Joshua has a part to do as well. Be strong, be courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land. Only be strong and very courageous, verse 7. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may succeed or have success wherever you go. Please look at that verse again. He says, if you will be a doer of the word, you will succeed everywhere you go. Be a doer of the word. And so now I can hear Joshua going, okay, God, I know how to succeed. I need to be a doer of the word. But God, how do I get there? How do I get to the place where I just want to be a doer of the word? Well, let me tell you how, Joshua. Verse 8, this book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Joshua, feed my word continually into your heart. Let my word sink deep into your heart and take deep root into your life until my word is what controls your life. Meditate the word, search the word, know the word, feed it into your heart. It'll become who you are. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according, so that you may be careful to do all that is written in it. For then, watch this, for then, Joshua, you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. You will make your way prosperous, you can have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Feed the word into your heart. Listen to what he says. If you'll meditate the word, if you'll feed the word into your heart, you can make your way prosperous. Brother and sister, I want you to hear this. One last thought. You can feed the word of God into your heart and make your way prosperous. Or you can forget about the word of God and make your life miserable. The choice is ours. The choice is ours. But if we'll meditate the word and feed it into our heart and let it become a part of who we are, we will make our way prosperous and we will have good success. It's the doer of the word that's blessed. Let's stand together and we'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you for the word of God today. We thank you for all that it teaches us about who you are and who we are, what is truly right and what is truly wrong. Father, help us to delight ourselves in you by choosing to walk the path of the word of God. And Lord, when we stumble and fall, as we all will and all do, help us to be quick to repent and ask your forgiveness that you might set our feet on the right path once again. Father, help us to be diligent in our search for you, in chasing after you and the ways of the Lord for our life. I pray, Father, that we would be doers of this word today, that we would be those who become diligent in our search of the scriptures, in our search for truth, relying on your word, which is truth, to teach us right from wrong. Help us to live your way, Father, instead of the world's way, in compromise and immorality, lack of integrity, rebellion. Help us to live that life of uncompromising righteousness, Father, as we discover the truth of the word, surrender to it. We allow the word and spirit of God to make us different people so that we live a different way, a way that brings glory and honor to you and blessing back to us. Help us, Father, to be doers of the word. I pray for my church family here today, Father, and I thank you for these that have come out this morning. I pray your blessing on each one. I pray your blessing on each home and each household. I pray the blessing of your presence above everything else, that your sweet spirit, Father, would rule and reign over every home and every family. And that through your Spirit, Lord, we would experience peace, joy, gladness, and all of the spiritual blessings that you have for us as your children, as well as the natural and even material blessings that you desire to give to us as well. Father, I pray that we would see the benefit of living in obedience to you today. Not only because we can be blessed in this lifetime if we will do that, but Father, also as we live out our faith day to day, we can finish this course and finish this race with an enduring faith that brings us across the finish line victoriously and into your presence forever because we've kept the faith and not departed from it. So, Father, I pray that we be encouraged here today about your place in this journey that we call life. You'd help us day by day . I pray for the homes in our family today, in our church family, that need your peace. I pray for the husbands and wives today that need peace between them. I pray they'll find it in Jesus. I pray for families today that are carrying financial burden. I pray, Lord, that they would order their home according to your word, even where their finances are concerned, and find in you their full supply of all their needs. I pray again for John Rice and for Daniel Cruz and for their extended families. The peace and the comfort and the wisdom of the Lord, Father. God, help these brothers particularly to live faithfully for you every day, to continue the journey of faith, to keep the faith. Even as we pray for our own church family to do the same. We pray again for the Whitaker family today, Lord, for peace, for wisdom, for healing. For others of our church family, Lord, for strength, for wisdom and direction, for revelation about the future. What is your will? Make it known as you speak to our hearts by your Spirit. In these ways, Father, we pray that you bless our church family, that our church family can grow in the things of God, and in growing, be a blessing beyond the walls of this building to the world that needs to know Jesus. Thank you for it, Father. So, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity once again to study your word together, to grow in our knowledge of the things of God. I pray, God, that we not leave what we learned in the sanctuary today. We take it beyond the walls of this building, and we would think about it tonight, tomorrow, and the next day. We would be diligent to be doers of the word of God. We thank you for the blessings that come our way as a result, and the blessings that we can give because of that. All honor and all glory belong to you, O God. And we praise your mighty name. Amen. Let's sing together as we're dismissed here today. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay. In your presence, day by day. Till your likeness may be seen in me. Let it be so, Lord, your likeness in us. God bless you. Thanks for being with us today. Have a great day in the Lord.